Mr. Larry King, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me, man?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, video should be coming on shortly. There we go.
There we are.
Yeah, no issues, no disconnects this time.
Oh, don't say that. You just jinxed us.
Well, we're a walking jinx anyway. That's the, you know, okay. The
weird mermaid Pokemon.
That's right. All with the controversy, you know, because it has a Gollywog look to her. Yeah. That character.
Sure.
Yeah. The big lips, the big eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Oof. Yeah. Controversial in the West. In the East, they don't care.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you white people want to be Japanese? We don't care. You know, I listened to it a while back, put it in my favorites. I was going through some favorites and stuff, listening to Mike and the Mechanics. You ever heard the song Silent Running?
Rings a bell.
Do you hear me? Do you hear me running? It's actually a really good song. I listened to it and I actually was listening to the lyrics. And it sounds like a kind of New World Order song. It's about, you know, a guy telling his wife and kids, go to the basement, hide out, don't listen to the government or the church. You don't listen to the church or state. There's a gun down there. There's food and supplies. You know, they'll tell you to pledge to a flag. Starts with like
a kid blowing out a candle. This is the official video clip.
I didn't watch the clip. I didn't watch the video.
He's looking out the window, opening a door.
It's a good song. I quite dig it. But it sounds like something would have been in Miami Vice. But I was listening to that, and I was listening to some other stuff, but I came across a female artist by the name of Wanda Jackson.
I think you have to see this clip, Larry.
I'll pass on it. It'll probably ruin my enjoyment of the song. No, I don't know.
It's quite creepy.
Okay. Well, I like the video for...
I'm just playing it now, so the listeners can get a feel for it.
I don't think it could out-creepy the video for the 45 Graves song, Party Time, which has this like faux 1950s look, and there's like this guy in a kind of this papier-mâché mask, and he's like, and it's supposed to be like a backyard party, and like the mother's like got the beehive hair, and she's going like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this guy in a papier-mâché mask is picking up this little girl, and it's on that like 8mm. It's like, it looks like something like, you know, like from the movie 8mm. It's like, oh no, it's terrible. It's actually, I love that song of the zombie version was in Return of the Living Dead, but the original as well. Horrific subject matter, both cases, but horrific video as far as nightmare inducing content.
Yeah,
but wonderfully done. But Wanda Jackson, she was a country singer, basically a pop country singer from the 50s.
Yeah, I know. She did what's the Japanese one?
Fujiyama Mama.
That's the one. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, the one.
She's got a great voice. Killer voice.
She's got voice. Apparently she did that song and went to Japan to tour. And they loved her in Japan, even though this song is about dropping nukes.
I think that might even be in an early AKF mixtape. This is it here.
It was. Okay. Yeah. Okay. There's so many. We do so many mixtapes.
Yeah.
We it's kind of an Earth thing. It's go to. Don't have an idea. Mixtape. Hey, time is running short. Mixtape it up.
She's got a great voice, this Wanda Jackson. Like she doesn't need a distortion pedal.
That's the thing. She was like 18, 19 years old at the time.
But just, listen, you know, to the grit on that. That's great.
But that's what's so funny. It kind of sounds like the 70s, like a 70s punk music almost. That's sort of what reminds me of that. Kind of the way she, like the vocal, the kind of that raw. It almost reminds me of like a more punk. Patty Smith.
Yeah.
Kind of that kind of deal. But yeah, there's, you know, listening to that kind of stuff and everything, and just the insanity of like some of these songs and everything. Like you ever heard of Eddie Nowak's Psycho?
No.
He's a country singer, and it's Eddie Nowack. and the song's called Psycho, and it's one of the more disturbing.
We're listening to it right now, listeners.
Oh, it's good stuff. It's really good stuff. I quite dig it because it paints a wonderful picture, wonderfully horrible picture, and like the way he just goes, "Mama," and it's just it's to me, it's more disturbing than the movie Psycho because I could believe this more because it isn't just Robert Bloch's story. Hitchcock's directing and cinematography. It's got a little something going on, but I stuff like that, like I quite dig.
Fair enough.
Yes, I mean I, lately been trying to decompress as far as because I the past like 3 months, past like 90 days, were focused on nothing but comic book making. Made like 100 pages worth of comics that's fully penciled, inked, and lettered. Covers, bonus material, credits, pages, all that kind of stuff. And I've never been this creative and on this level because, like, making mini comics is a totally different beast. When it's small pages, 2 or 3 panels a page, sometimes maybe not even that much, and just very basic 8-page stories, boom, done. You can do a lot of those.
Yeah.
But when you actually have to have something that has to fit within standards and be able to be print ready and ready to go and not have to have like any kind of after, send it off. Oh, there's an issue. Like, make sure everything's good to go right off the bat. It's not as easy because I'm so used to doing everything freewheeling, do it yourself, and now I have to put it within guidelines and make sure it's not into the cutoff area. And oh, it's a double page spread. Well, you better not put the balloon too close to the gutter because when it's collected, it's going to disappear. Or hey, you better move that art a little bit over to the left or a little bit over to the right. Or when you're reading it in a trade paperback format, a little manga size format, you're going to miss like half the character or half the words.
Yeah.
And have to keep those things in mind so I don't make mistakes like others have made. Learn from their mistakes. And I've seen some terribly collected comics. I've seen some terribly collected manga, original stuff. I don't understand how people don't learn from those mistakes. Put that thought in their head. They screwed up in this way. Make sure you don't do the same. Or, hey, you made the mistake in the past, learn from that. But it seems like, people just keep on making the same mistakes creatively or, like, dipping from scooping up water from the shallowest mud puddle and just get nothing but, cigarette butts and silt in their mouth. And it's like, tastes great. It's like, what is wrong with you people? It's like I was thinking about that advice that Jaime Hernandez gave me 12 years ago.
Tweet, yeah.
Yeah. And be honest with yourself because you're going to be found out. Because if you're doing something, that's chasing a trend that you are being somebody you're not, you will be found out. And that is the damn truth. You'll be a phony, or as like really me to do like hack fraud, that kind of thing. But it's true though. And it's why I don't think I could ever do those. The most popular comics are today. Biggest selling, most popular, are not Batman and Superman. They're kids' comics. A book called Smile or Dog Man is these Scholastic, aimed at kids. They're that Dog Man. I got one volume. I still have never fully read it. Mm-hmm. I start flipping through it, and I was like, part of my brain like it hurts because like this is meant for school kids, not like preschool kids, like 7, 8 years old. I would not hand my kids this because I was at 7, 8 years old. I was reading comics I was getting from the flea markets, old Avengers comics, like this Roger Stern era, Sal Buscema, John Buscema. My first exposure to Avengers was the team of Captain America, Captain Marvel, my girl Monica, She-Hulk, Dr. Druid, Wasp, Hercules, Namor, all that good stuff. And that artwork, it was like straightforward. Characters looked how they're supposed to look. It wasn't this infantilized art style and infantilized writing. Like, oh, here's the Dog Man. Oh, he's he's going to tear somebody, the seat of somebody's pants. Oh, he's going to do, who cares?
That's
stuff
right.
is stupid. Like, the infantilization of children. I didn't want to read this kiddie stuff. I had an aunt, and I still feel bad about this. Wow, like 30 years on almost. Aunt gave me some like Bernstein Bears books. I would have rather had old Avengers or Spider-Man or X-Men or Batman or old comics, because it was far more interesting to read. They were about the same page count, because, you know, the Bernstein Bears books, still image, text, text. There was no story, visual story being told. It wasn't like lighting my brain on fire. It was like, whatever. And at a young age, I had an issue with reading comprehension, speech. Like, basically, like I struggled with that stuff. And, like, you know, just reading nothing but text has always bored me.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like reading walls of text. Like, I've only been able to read a handful of books all the way through without, like, you know, like stopping for many months at a time. I'll get back to it, kind of thing. I still haven't read. I've had it for probably about a decade now. The Homicide: A Year in a Killing Streets, David Simon book that the show was based off of, and a lot of the characters in that kind of were also inspired The Wire later on.
Yeah.
I still haven't finished. I've only got about 60 pages into that. It's like a 400-page book, because it's so dense and just great characters. And I could see it all in my head and some funny stuff, but it's just text, just black words, white background, black words, white background. Give me black words, white background in a bubble with a character with an expression of like deep sadness or anger or joy, or, you know, middle of, you know, for combat. This is why comics are better, and also comics. I don't need power to read comics.
No.
I can read comics by candlelight or sunlight. You know, I can do anything. And
they're corona proof.
Well, I was hoping not to talk about that, because like everybody's like that's one thing. Like, all this, I'm like, who benefits? Oh yeah, people that want it. Like, well, why would people do something to scare others? Because people are sick. Because that's the reason. They're sick in the head. They enjoy fear. They enjoy fear-mongering. They want to get a following. They want to make money. Oh, I'm going to do a live stream on this talking about it. Oh, yeah, don't forget to donate to me. Super chats, donations. Oh, buy my hat. Buy my T-shirts. You buy print. Like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Politicians, you know, it's like, oh, look to me. I know what I'm talking about. No, you don't. You know, it's – I trust no one. I trust no one. I've had an N95 mask, which is one of the ones that are, oh, you need to get an N95 mask. I probably have one because I'm dealing with dust and paint and stuff like that. I got food, water. I'm like, whatever. It's like it's just like a hurricane, except, you know, everybody's schools are closing. No movie theaters. Probably no malls. Takeout only restaurants. This, that, like, and I was thinking, you know, world wars have started for less when it comes to, like, some Chinese asshole and it wasn't eating a bat. You know, this is some Raccoon City T virus G virus bullshit. Some Chinese asshole let this shit out.
If that was the case, it would do more than affect the respiratory systems of immunocompromised people.
But that's the thing. I want to go.
By the way, I'm giving you the out now. We can just change topic now. You didn't want to talk about Corona. I'm cool with that.
No. I'm just saying, my concern is the potential prevalence of this, because like, you can't trust the Chinese. You never could. You never should have. I mean, not since the Boxer Rebellion, you know, 120 years ago. You can't trust them.
I disagree, but anyway.
I don't trust them.
I don't think Americans may be able to trust them, but I think Australians can.
Oh, because they own you now. You're just you're satellite.
We're a value to them, yeah.
Yeah, you're a value. Like, yeah, but the incompetence, the utter incompetence of China as a whole. You know, murdering civilians, you know, covering stuff up, but because they make all the tech, you know, these bleeding hearts, you know, oh my God, you know, human rights, gay rights, whatever. Don't want to talk about the Uyghurs, the Chinese Muslims being re-educated, forced to eat pork, drink alcohol, and if they don't comply, they end up in a concentration camp. Same thing with the Chinese government going into churches, tearing down crosses, and doing all this other stuff. They don't want to talk about that. Oh, suppressing, you know, civil rights, you know, people in Hong Kong, which unfortunately, because they, you know, they understood what it's like to be like, hey, British subjects, British rule, this, that, whatever kind of deal. You know, not subjects, but, you know,
Hong Kong, understands. Hong Kong people preferring the British rule to what they got now.
When those videos coming out, like, where the Chinese, these like protesters, these Chinese, these Hong Kong, because they're considered more self, you know, they may be of Chinese descent, but they don't feel like themselves a part of China. But like, you know, like the U.S. anthem, you know, I was like, this is, they're more patriotic than most Americans I know. This is sad.
Yeah.
This is really sad. It's like
they've benefited from free trade since the Brits were in charge.
Exactly. Like, hey, no kung fu movies if it weren't for Hong Kong. I guarantee that.
That's it.
You know, we wouldn't have, you know, for all that. But yeah, it is what it is.
Well,
but
no kung fu movies. No, very very little Buddhism. Anything sort of against the Communist Party that we typically identify as Chinese, like Shaolin, like Buddhism. You know, none of that would exist.
Yeah, but it's like it, and because everybody else got pushed out to Taiwan.
Yeah,
I do find it is. I guess it is true that if you want to piss off hardcore mainland Chinese, just say Taiwan number one, China number zero. I don't know if there is a zero in Chinese. I don't know, but yeah, it's all this stuff going on. You know, like, oh, this many people infected. And I was thinking the same thing. It's like, if all these many people infected outside the U.S., outside of China, you'd be talking like already. You know, there's 7 billion plus people on this planet. And if all these people were infected and it's that virulent and that deadly, it would be like the opening of the Stand. You know, that's one of the few books I've read in whole. And I like the miniseries. I know people think it's terrible. It's cheesy. It's 90s cheesy, made-for-TV movie. But I dig it. You know, Laura San Giacomo. She plays great psycho.
Larry, a statistical likelihood of dying in a car crash before you die of corona.
Yeah, I'm more likely to be... I'm more likely to probably hit, you know, like, you know, like I said, like, you know, hit a deer on the road this time of year. Then, you know, like, then encounter it. But even so, I mean, I'm pretty sure last July I had a case like walking pneumonia for like the entire month of July. I had fluid on my lungs, and I never saw the doctor. I just, you know, I just kept myself, you know, kept my,
you, you
know,
managed kept, it yourself. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It was terrible. I mean, it, like, you know, like just that feeling of like it kind of like that extra weight in your chest because all that fluid and everything and the mucus and, you know, just feeling it's like that scene from The Abyss where he's breathing in the water except that the super oxygenated liquid is like, but I got like half a tank.
And you're that rat. Like
in my chest.
You're that rat from the demonstration.
Yeah, I'm the rat. I'm Ed Harris. I got the hair, same hairstyle almost. But, yeah, it's so... And it's like, part of me thinks, you know, because here in the States, like right now, I don't know how it is in Australia for as far as like domestic travel, but starting in October, they're going to have, this is weird, like how does this have to do with anything like that? In October, I think October 1st, to just get on a plane here from North Carolina and say if I wanted to go to Texas or...
Yeah. For all that Texas
Nevada
traveling you do. Or wherever. I said for all that traveling to Texas you do.
Yes, exactly. It's like if I want to go and, you know, see the Alamo and see if there's a basement in the Alamo. There's no basement in the Alamo. And everybody laughed at me. But I want to see if that does work. Stars are bright and big at night. This one just says, fuck you! Just whatever. But no. Starting October 1st, you have to have a official, like a federal ID. Basically, you got to jump through extra hoops and pay more money and show birth certificate and all this and that just on for a driver's license to go domestic. So we used to be able, America, like everybody's like, oh, progress is good. Like the past, everybody, you know, glosses over. My grandparents, when they would go, my grandfather, they had friends in Newfoundland, Canada.
Yeah.
And they get the camper, pull it behind the car, the old VA station wagon, and drive it across the border with just a driver's license, go to Newfoundland, set up there, had, you know, the good times, like a couple, like for a week, and then come on back. To do all that, I mean, multiple checkpoints, passports, all this and that. You know, at simpler times, you know what? We're truly simpler. Yes, simpler, but there's also simpler problems. Like, well, why can't we fix the simple problem of, you know, love your neighbor and all this and that? Yeah. Hey, it's not any different.
But this isn't the first time we've been confronted with a virus.
No, the Spanish flu. I mean, granted, back then, that was before, like, modernization of medicine, but that's also before, that's back when people actually had to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
They weren't lining up. I normally on Sundays, whether pandemic or not, I go to the grocery store. Because they usually have the Friday, Saturday, Sunday deals. It's the last day of the deals and everything. And sometimes they discount them even more.
Yeah.
Because if they got like a London broil, because I'll take a big old London broil and I'll put it in a black skillet.
I don't know what a London broil is, but.
It's a big hunk of beef. It's about, say, 2-3 inches of beef. Basically, if you ball up your fist and like that, you know, and then lay your fist flat on a table. And then do like that three times, like three fists worth of meat.
Yeah.
And you just put it in there and put it in a black skillet. I got a, you know, cast iron skillet. I put it in there, put a, you know, some of the cut up onion, garlic powder, and then I put a little bit of oil in the skillet first to keep the from fully sticking. It's going to stick no matter what because once the, you know, the moisture and everything evaporates, and then cover it in aluminum foil, put it in the oven. It comes out a little crisp, but usually on the outside sometimes a little crisp, but on the inside it's all tender. And do like a pulled beef. You just add a little barbecue sauce, pull it apart, real good stuff. But I didn't see none today, but I did see, or yesterday, I did see people grabbing rolls of toilet paper, and it just, I aloud said, how did humanity survive this long? People are so stupid. And I'm like, and I know the lady heard me, and it's like, I did say, you people don't deserve to live. And it's like, if humanity makes me sick, but to see all the bread aisle gone and the milk section like cleared out, I'm like, you understand these two items, they're going to go bad before anything else. Bread goes bad quick. Milk goes bad quick once you open it, and usually you're not going to survive.
Well, bread and milk are made in America by Americans with American produce and American manufacturing and distribution channels. So border control isn't going to affect the supply of that.
No, it's not. But also what will affect it is truck drivers, gas station attendants, you know, fuel stations, the truck stops where people – truck stops, I mean, the communal showers and communal – so, like, you know, all it's going to take is somebody panicking. But the my whole concern with this whole master, you know, they could – crazier things that happened to you, the idea of the whole FEMA camp thing. And – you know, like I'm like, yeah, the likelihood of that happening is very slim.
Yeah.
But it's more likely now than it would have been 2 months ago, 3 months ago. I mean, it's, you know, and it's to even in a very slim margin, and I'm not trying to be too conspiratorial. I can be, because, like, I mean, crazier things have happened. And I just don't, like, part of me, I don't want to have to make that decision of, oh, National Guard says, Larry, you got to go to a FEMA camp. We're going to take you to a camp, even though you're not showing, even though you're not sick, even though you're not, you know, showing any symptoms or whatever.
You're not
for old. Your own good. You're not infirm. For your own. That's the thing. It's like,
Larry, if you get, if you yourself catch coronavirus, it's just going to feel like a pretty heavy cold.
That's what, okay. That's one potential. But then I was thinking,
that's an actuality, Larry. That's an actuality. All it is a heavy cold.
Wow.
However, the virus affects the part of the brain that regulates control in the lungs. And in people with compromised immune systems, that control is marginalized.
Well, that's my biggest concern, because I know people that potentially could have, because of age and or previous health conditions,
yeah,
could have that. And the complete, it's not apathy. It's the joy of the death of older people, the potential death of older people, because they're blaming, one generation blames their problems on the previous generation. It's like the whole rebel teenage kid, I hate you, Dad, you know, that kind of stuff.
The okay boomer movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The complete inhumanity in these people, quote unquote people. For me, being as cynical as I can be, it's hard for me to wrap my head around.
And you can be mighty cynical.
Oh my God, yeah. But it's like, this is where I disagree with these people, like, all life is sacred, everything like that. Because clearly, these people should not have been born. These are definitely cases of either they should have been aborted, condoms should have been worn. Into the tissue and to the bin you go.
Governments and social justice warriors should have got less involved in parents' private business of how they raise their children. That's the number one thing here. Parents and teachers have been stripped of any right to do their God-given duty to teach and parent, and this is the end result.
I disagree with that. My view on it is this. You have people from the Generation X, you know, the one previous to us, because according to the things, me and you are technically millennials.
Well, you and I are Generation Y, though I think spiritually we're closer to X than Y.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because we had parents that loved us, I think.
We had parents that cared enough to let us know that the sun didn't shine out of our asses.
Exactly. Like, where I... Oh, Larry, you stole a candy bar from this discount store where they had dented cans and big boxes, and on the checkout aisle, you wanted a candy bar, and I wouldn't get it for you. I'm going to beat your ass in the parking lot in front of the store. So not only are you getting ass beating, but you're getting embarrassed too.
Yeah.
The combination, will you steal a candy bar again? No, I will not, and I did not.
Yeah.
So exactly. It's one of those things. You couldn't do that a couple years after.
Folks would get cuffed for that now. There'd be walk-away silver bracelets, and you'd be rehomed forever with a chip on your shoulder that you're always in the right.
I'm the victim. Exactly. The whole the victimization of people, and people are so eager to play the victim. But to me, I still kind of find it hilarious. I told somebody that, and it's like, how dare your mother do that to you? I'm like, I find it funny because I survived it. It's like, oh, look, I got into a fight, argument with a teacher, and because I did this, I was told to go to the switch bush and go and get a switch. So I had to go off this bush, break off a branch, take the leaves off of it, and it's like 3-4 foot long. And I was like, oh, I'm going to grab the thinnest one because that's going to hurt less.
Yeah.
I learned quickly about aerodynamics.
You want a thick switch.
Exactly. But I found out the hard way my mother could hit that. And it's like, well, where's your father's situation? Working 12-hour shifts at the time. And when he wasn't there, because sometimes work would dry up in the area and he'd have to go out of the, and so he had a long drive time back to, or sometimes he'd be out of state, but every week, every night he would call home, and every weekend he'd come back, no matter how far he was away, because he didn't want to be out of state. He was trying to find work within the state. You know, it was like, having to stay in these horrible places, sleeping above the mattresses, like the bedspread. Yeah. He's like, he would buy like the biggest sleeping bag, like the nylon sleeping bag you could, because with nylon you could spray it down and stuff. And he's like, I don't touch the floor with my bare feet. I don't touch them, like, and treat it like it's some kind of biohazard.
Yeah.
And like, I learned lessons, like, don't, because you don't want to get no bed bugs. You don't get this bed bugs. And, but I actually have parents that care. But a lot of these kids, these, you know, okay boomer people, that they weren't shown any affection. It's like, oh, you got their parents. They did that child was not raised in a loving environment. That child was probably not conceived out of love. It's just like, whatever. It's like, there you go. 9 months later, here comes your responsibility. And it's not, you know, this child does it. They wanted, this child was wanted.
Yeah.
But it's just, well, it's here. I got to take care of it. I got to do.
But the difference is these kids' parents are X's, Generation X's, and some early blooming millennials that haven't grown up yet.
They hadn't, because they were raised, a lot of them were latchkey kids, or they were given what they were wanted, or they were not given enough attention. And so, like, there's a lot of mental stuff to unpack with these people, yeah. But they were not ready to be adults, let alone parents, to raise another human being.
Yeah.
And so you got this apathetic, if not completely hostile creature that's been raised on computers and video games and TV, and that's all they know in their entire life. They can't go outside and, like, when the sun goes, watch a beautiful sunset and watch the stars come out and look at the phases of the moon and enjoy a breeze and enjoy life. Like, just go out and enjoy nature and the world around us. But no, they got to be on their phone texting. They got to, you know, I'm here, I'm there, I'm, you know, check in here.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I'm going to take a photo of my food.
They have to put their needs above everything else in their life. So the kids get neglected because this person needs to have an hour of sauna time each night. So
it's,
yeah,
it's disgusting. But this is the way the world is. There are people that cannot help themselves with staying plugged in, and to me, that's completely unhealthy. I mean, we as a species, like, the internet. It's a tool at the end of the day. It's no different than a rock. A rock, what I could do with a rock, I could take a walnut, a pecan, a pecan, as they say. A pecan's what you take a leak in, someone told me one time. But really? Pecan. Oh, no. Yeah, it's a pecan, like kind of you know.
Call it a pecan pie here, but yeah.
You say pecan too?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. See, there you go. Hey,
if I love you say pecan pie.
Oh, they're great. You ever let one soak in the Karo syrup to basically where it's like it's mushy, like it's like it fall apart?
No, I haven't done that before.
That's the best kind of pecan pies. That you got to let them soak in the Karo syrup. Actually, you have to warm it back up.
Yep.
And what happens is the pecan and the sugar syrup, the Karo syrup, will actually go in and soften up the pecan, so it's almost like. It's because, you know, pecan, like, has a little snap to it when it's yeah. fresh. You got the little, because they got meat to it. It's almost like yeah. kind of weird meaty.
Yeah, it's like nut meat.
Once it, exactly, but once it soaks in, it kind of you can it almost looks like an imitation. It looks like an imitation pecan because when you like slice into it, say, with a fork or a knife or whatever pie server,
you're making me hungry,
it just
man.
Cuts. Best kind, home style, but get the richest, most basic vanilla ice cream you can. With a nice hot slice of pecan pie. I've been wanting some for a while now, but no one makes it good around here, and I'm too lazy to go out and get the pecans, because I used to have pecan trees, and then the hurricanes have knocked them over, and worm infestations have gotten into them. And so they're a pain in the ass. So it's easier to buy the pecans whole, but they're expensive. But
you got to crack open your interstate license now to
go all Smokey and a Bandit, except for instead of beer, going for pecans. It's driving in and out of state.
That's it. That's it. Fucking bootleg pecan runner.
Eastbound and down, eating pecan. But you know, with these, what the hell were we talking about? But no, it was.
We're talking about the younger generation that sees coronavirus as some kind of retribution against their boomer oppressors.
Yeah, it's like this idea that, you know, oh, they screwed up the nations. Like, you know who screwed the nation? People did. It doesn't matter who, what generation they were from. It's people. People.
Well, no, it's classes. You know who screwed up the nation is the rich upper class.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. They're people. It's old money. You're letting these these old money people. This isn't some new entrepreneur coming up and it's like, oh wow, all boomers are problems. Like, you know what? That right there is just what they want you to, that you're falling into the, you know, blaming that, you know. Oh, it's the Irish. The Irish are the problems in the world. Oh, it's this group. It's this problem in the world. You know, that kind of thing. It's like you fall for the simplest thing. Like, you know, these people, they don't, I mean, I don't look at it as a pity them, because I don't. It's like, oh, I pity these people for thinking such, you know, such dumb things. It's like, no. They're supposed to be smart. They're connect. They have smartphones growing out of the side of their head, but they can't connect. You can't look it up for themselves. They can't think for themselves. It's just like, oh, they see something funny, haha, and they believe it. It's, I don't know. Or maybe they believe, who knows, like, oh, I'm just joking. It's hard for you to wrap your head around. But I guess I'd be called a boomer too, if not in age and in thinking. But
yeah.
The youth of the day disgust me. So you can't go 2 hours in a movie without putting your damn cell phone down. I gotta see your glow of your cell phone. Like, I... Yeah, so much they should be tased and dragged out of the theater.
Yeah,
cattle prod, or somebody should go. Okay, if I could summon fictional characters, I'd summon Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men with the cattle gun to go up behind him and then drag him out of the theater. You just did that for you just did that from having a cell phone out. Hey, you do it to one, you teach everybody else a lesson.
Well, I don't want to sound like a communist, but George Carlin nailed it for me. What did he say? He said, the upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all of the work. The poor are there just to scare the shit out of the middle class. And that pretty much sums it up.
But that's the thing, middle class has pretty much been dissolved in America. I mean, it's pathetic now. It's like the idea that, you know...
What, you're saying you've got like a Brazilian-style economic divide forming?
It's getting that close, man. It's like where people...
You're going to go on Max Payne and start running around the favelas.
Going around the favelas. I mean, some areas, man, are getting close to it, looks like. I mean, almost like shantytown looks. I'm like... Dear God, it's like, I don't think, you know, a lot of, every place is like that, but where it's like, you have rich and everything else, it's, I mean, California, I mean, well, that ain't really a best example of anything. Hey, any state that's okay with now, like, decriminalizing willingly infecting someone with HIV, you got problems. It's,
yeah.
This idea, like, if California, you know, if they really thought that they were doing anybody a favor, that scares me. That truly does scare me. Like, you are protecting people that are willingly infecting others. Like, I just, you know, it's like, oops, I went around and infected you with hepatitis. Oops, you got smallpox now. You know, hey, you got the Black Death. But hey, I'm not going to be criminally penalized because my state says it's okay. Like, what is wrong with you? You know, hey, HIV isn't a death sentence anymore, but it is $20,000 a year for the medication. Oh yeah, and you can't give blood. You'll have your immune system will be compromised for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
the drugs will mess you up, and you're going to have to willingly tell people, oh, yeah, you know, if you're outside of California, because there's probably something about, like, oh, you don't tell nobody you have AIDS, you just HIV, just give it to them. Hey, you willingly gave it to them. It's not against the law. You know, that kind of stuff. It's like this song from South Park, not South Park, Team America. AIDS. It's like, you know, you have, everybody has AIDS, you know. But, I think that's what they that's what happens when you, you glamorize your diseases, you know, but I don't know. But that's weird, though, like, the reports coming out about that coronavirus, but them treating it with malaria medication and HIV medication. You know, and it was effective. It was like, made me think, it's like,
Well, HIV kind of makes sense because it is the immunosuppressed or the immunodeficient that are affected, immunocompromised, sorry, that are in critical conditions from the virus.
Am I horrible for thinking? Okay, the answer is probably going to be yes, but like maybe the reason all those, like, the mass death in China was from the fact that the air was polluted, the water is polluted, they're eating parasite-infested foods raw, they have socialism on their side, and so the free healthcare, a hospital that's built in 3 days, aka just it's a giant coffin for the sick people with, like, flooding on the insides. Is it the fact, like, maybe the reason, like, so many were just dropping like flies is because, like, insides of them were basically rotten to begin with from,
yeah,
you know,
possibly
from from their environment, you know, just being so terrible, their lifestyle. Yeah, I don't think working in a factory building iPhones for, you know, for 5 cents a week.
Not even being allowed to kill yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, look, we're
obviously even allowed. Obviously, there's no causal link. Or even corollary link, but coincidence, definitely.
Yeah, well, I don't think they would ever let any, like, true link get out, because they would suppress it, you know, just like everything else. Like, you can't trust, you know.
With the global economy as it is, and China on the precipice of losing everything they've gained in their aggressive economic expansion in the past decade and a half, there's no reason why they would do something that would debilitate their workforce and their economy to this extent.
Well, even accidentally, it's like, I don't know. I think this is probably, you know, is.
But why would you accidentally make something that only takes out, like, not even young, just old people at the end of the spectrum?
That's the thing. Even though infants, and it's a horrible thing to think about, infants, newborns, all that stuff, but their immune systems are terribly vulnerable to stuff. Wouldn't you be hearing more about that?
Not really. Kids are vulnerable to new infection and whatnot, but they have extremely resilient systems. So for prolonged diseases and retroviruses and things that alter and disrupt the natural order of the body, yeah, they are very vulnerable. But to things like essentially the common cold, of which this is a more aggressive instance, at least symptomatically, it's not there. I mean, look at the numbers. Okay, South Korea is one of the countries with the most comprehensive testing platform because of their relatively small and controlled society. They're able to accurately do it. 7,024 active cases. 75 deaths.
See, and that's what gets me. It's like they report the numbers, so these big numbers and everything. They sound big, but if you boil it down,
let me do those numbers a bit better, because if I do the active plus the 1212 closed cases, that's 8236. So 75 divided by 8236 times 100. So there's a fatality rate of 0.9% there.
Yeah, so less than 1% of the people that get infected will die.
Yeah. So compared to the common cold, that's probably about 8 times the severity of the common cold. I believe the common cold is about 0.12%. 0.012%. So you're looking at 8 times the severity of a common cold. Now, of that, let's look at the number that are in critical or mild condition. So let's assume that they are senior citizens. So 6965 plus 59 in the serious or critical equals 7024. So 75 deaths recorded so far divided by 7024 for people playing the numbers game at home with me times 100 equals 1.067. So even of the senior citizens that have caught the disease, the fatality rate isn't that much worse than what we recorded before. It's 1.067. And that's just amongst the old people that have caught the disease.
You know, just I thought of something. Perfect title for this. Coronavirus positivity stream. You know, because it's like not being positive about the coronavirus, but the fact that you're actually giving numbers and like hard facts. That, you know,
I don't know why everyone isn't relying on facts.
Okay,
I do know why, because outrage sells.
My thing is, you know why I haven't bothered looking these things up myself or because I were paying attention to whatever news? Because you can't trust. There's very few people in this world I trust. I've known Antonio now for a decade. For a decade, I've known this man.
I'm sorry, Larry.
And I'm very sorry too. I want my reparations. I want my 40 acres and a mule. God damn it! All right, no. I want my 4,000. What do you call them? 4,000 hectares and my kangaroo. God damn it!
4,000 is a lot. Shit.
Hey, you give me that. Give me some dusty outback, and there you go. I'd build that shanty town that the X-Men. You know, or you're hanging out in and during the Outback era. It was like, hey guys, can you be the Reavers and attack my, hey, I'll give you a tractor transfer legs. But you're right. The numbers are not on the side of, unless all of a sudden, like 60 days after infection, people just start dropping dead, you know?
Now, yeah. Well, the problem lies in when you look at countries like Italy, right?
Well, our old people.
Italy is a country that is filled, maybe overflowing with old people. It's still
and immigrants.
But it is
Illegal aliens, as we would call.
Culturally, it's a society that embraces the senior citizen, the older relatives, and includes them in the family lifestyle. You know, incidences of nursing homes. In Italy, nursing home is a dirty word. You don't use a nursing home. Your mother, your father, your uncle, they come and live with you.
Yeah.
And they stay alive much longer because they're involved in the family.
They're not put in a corner like a dirty secret.
No,
you know.
No, but at the same time, Italy is a very physical. Race of people, Italians are.
Italians.
What race? ethnicity. Sorry.
I would say nationality.
Nationality.
Because the thing about it is, like, you know, but exactly. But
like many Europeans, they hug and kiss complete strangers. You know, it's you know, food is shared. It's the more the merrier type mentality. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody gathered around a table, eating from the same dishes and all that kind of stuff.
That was us just yesterday at a family lunch. It's just how it is. But because of that, and you couple that with the fact that they have a completely inept, lecherous and corrupt system of government. If they had shut down. A lot of the border control earlier, and if they didn't have such a ruined state system where hospitals got no funding or support, even roads themselves are falling apart, bridges toppling because there's zero infrastructure in place. municipally. The place is falling to bits. It's crumbling at their feet, whilst the rich have their bunga bunga parties, Berlusconi style. But that percentage is far bigger. So it's a 1 in 24 death rate.
Well, same thing with France. I mean, they're France is having the same issues, I guarantee, because of the elderly population as well as their population of
in
a new arrival.
Total deaths in France, 127. Total cases, 5,423. So total case per 1 million of population in France is only 83 cases. In Italy, it's 409 cases. Italy is the worst in the world at the moment.
Damn.
Per million people, 409 have it.
That sounds like a lot. It seems like a lot, too.
Yeah, that is a lot. So compare that with China. Now, understand China's numbers we have to take with a grain of salt, because we cannot trust any statistic that comes out of China.
I'll leave it this way. Whatever number they say, times it by 10, because they got a billion people and also that they cover up. So let's say, like, let they cut it by 10.
Sure. You know, like, but as of an hour ago, they reported 80,880 total cases. So four times the incidents or the cases of Italy, almost. 3,213 deaths. So 2.5 times the number of deaths Italy have had so far. Total
3,000 deaths, 3,000 plus?
3,213 in China.
Okay.
So total recovered, 67,769. Active cases, 9,898. Serious critical list is 3,226. But per 1 million people, only 56.
See, part of me says, there's probably 20... I would not be, you know, considering the amount of people packed in like sardines in a tiny little crappy housing with horrible health because of lifestyle, because of the food, because of the water, because of the air, working, all that stuff. I would not be surprised if the real number is like north of 15,000 to 20,000.
Possibly.
Dead.
Possibly.
And because those satellite imagery where they're talking about how because the lack of people on the roads and moving around and everything, because when they're locking cities down and everything to prevent even further spread, like those sulfur plumes from what they were saying is bodies being incinerated. It wouldn't surprise me, considering, like, let's say, like, all the, like, you had a lot of immunally compromised people that get just a real bad cold and they die. Or just a real bad flu, and they die. Well, you can't just have a bunch of standard Chinese funerals, because I've seen somewhat what those funerals are like. I've never gone through the entire process, but they're not some simple. Hey, just put them in a car, put them in a pine box and put it in the ground. It isn't that simple. And going through that for a thousand people in one area at one time, or even get a couple given areas, it'd just be easier just to burn them all or put them in a mass grave. And the problem with mass graves is they show up on satellite images too. when you dig a giant pit, like in Iran or whatever, it's like, and like Iran was having issues too. And I was thinking, it's like, even the case, it's like, you know, I think by the end of this month we'll be able to see. Because there's that guy that arrived in like Seattle. I mean, I've been talking to people in other parts of the U.S.
Yeah,
and bigger, like I think you follow him as well, Perch.
Yep.
From Twitter.
Yep.
And he's in the Seattle area, and he's like, it's like 28 days later. It's like the way, you know, when the streets aren't empty, they're the panicked people, you know, acting like madmen. And there are people going around saying that this hospital was like they're overrun, but the IV is still stuck in the needles still stuck in the IV, like the IV drips where they got the little, where you put like medication or whatever to inject it into the IV itself, like needles being left in there and patients left unattended and madness and craziness. And it's like, no one's reporting. No one with actual hard evidence is reporting this. And he's kind of a rational voice, but it's like I just try to put all out of my head. And I've been focusing on comics. I've been focused on my own stuff. Like my next comic, I don't know exactly what it's going to be. I do know it will not be a solo story because, dude, I'm going to tell you right now, working on, I love the Rutung collection, Rutung Adventures collection coming soon, folks. 84 pages, black and white, three fantastic stories. Everything's going to be good. But I learned the hard way. Writing just nothing but internal monologuing and dialoguing, it can get, especially for three stories, like, this is why, like, one of my favorite comics, I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, it was a Barry Windsor Smith comic, came out in the late 90s. You ever heard of Freebooters, this right here?
I think you might have shown it to me before, but that was the extent of it.
Well, Freebooters is basically Fat Conan, and Fat Conan is like, you know, young, like kind of like squire equivalent. Fat Conan, who stinks, has flies buzzing around him. He's a drunk, but he's still a badass with a sword. Basically,
it's Armstrong from Archer and Armstrong.
You know what? I think didn't Barry Windsor Smith work on that? I think he might have.
I think he did. Yeah, he did.
I'm pretty sure this is basically like Conan Barbarian version of Archer and Armstrong. Similar to that, but it's like I think it's much more. It fits better with the, you know, kind of that medieval fantasy, ancient fantasy kind of thing than Archer and Armstrong, I think. But
yeah, it featured writing and art by comics creator Barry Windsor Smith.
So when he didn't, he just did the same idea. Hey, I'm fine with that. Well, this book right here, I think I've showed it to you before. I know you're not a fan of the character, but Adastra in Africa,
yep.
Barry Windsor Smith.
Yep.
Dude, I don't know if I showed you the artwork for this. Look at this. Look at that. All beautiful black and white.
Yeah.
Barry Windsor Smith work. This right here, you probably wouldn't care for it because this was going to be Life Death 3, which is the Life Death stories. Life Death 1 and 2 are Storm-focused stories that Barry Windsor Smith did with Chris Claremont. And this is he did a third one, which was Adastra in Africa all by himself. And Marvel chose not to do it, so he just reworked it as Adastra in Africa. And I quite dig it. It's got this, because it isn't Storm. And I was thinking Storm makes a better villain than she would a hero when you think about it. Woman, she was a thief. She was worshipped as a goddess, and she has all those powers. She'd be a better villain. She'd make a better villain than she'd do a hero.
Well, they keep trying to do it in Marvel, but it's only down the vampire route, really. And even then, she's a puppet of Dracula.
Exactly. It's like I've been meaning to get around. I got like four real books left to read. Mutant X, Spider-Girl, and then two Godzilla comics that a fan of the show, a friend of the show as well, Pete, had sent my way. I appreciate it, Pete. If you're listening, thank you. Hopefully you're listening. Don't know it. But,
we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, we'll
I know
out.
Who is listening. Travis, who sent us a picture of a venue we could make maybe the... if we ever do a live show, we could do it from. It's a bar that... Sorry, what are you saying?
No, sorry, go ahead.
It's a bar called the Keyboard Lounge, which... look, let's just say here in Australia, we're not allowed to convene in venues of 500 people or more because of the virus. I don't think there would be an issue at the Keyboard Lounge of getting more than 50 people in there. But yeah, lovely looking place.
I was thinking if we were to have a venue there, if they don't have it already, we'd need to go into a hardware store or a tractor supply place and buy some rabbit fencing.
Yeah.
Or chicken wire and put it up so when people are throwing their beer bottles, they don't hit us while we're up on stage just talking about hey, Antonio, I've been playing Fallout 4 and to reinvigorate the game, I've been installing mods and here comes a beer bottle, you know, nuts, a dinner plate, a World War I trench knife flying my way. But no, seriously, I've been playing Fallout 4 and doing the mods. Yep. I put a screen cap up. Did you see my post on Twitter?
No, no, I didn't see your screen cap, but you've told me a lot about your mods.
Okay, I would play, you know, my mods. You know, I'm not a punk. I'm a mod, whatever. But there was my last post on Twitter. But
that actually feeds into something I was wondering. I think I know your answer.
Okay,
but I was thinking that network connectivity, internet connections, and whatnot might actually be compromised by our whole nation being made to work from home. The Netflix.
Well, you know, I don't have that problem.
No,
because I got something called physical media, like Three Kings, Chronicle, the Japanese Unforgiven with Ken Watanabe.
Ooh, which is
dude, it's better than I actually like it better than the original Unforgiven because you know why?
Why?
Because
Watanabe is a badass.
Ken Watanabe, beginning of the film. Ken Watanabe plays a guy who's the native peoples of Japan, the ones that lived on Hokkaido, like they're equivalent to Native Americans. I forgot the name of them. There's a native people. They almost look Caucasian, like they're they're kind of like almost like Siberian, kind of like that, you know, Eskimo, whatever. Beginning of the movie, he's like going around killing people. He's like, I think he bit a guy's throat out. It's great. And then the Evil Dead. Evil Dead 1 and 2, and then Army of Darkness. Well, yeah. Oh, you see it?
Yeah, I see a xenomorph in a doghouse with a
large... Alien 3 style xenomorph.
Yeah.
And the best part is, if you go to Xbox, the feed, where it has like the video share, I did a video capture where there's part in the game Fallout 4 where you're investigating your son Sean is missing, and the only thing I could think of was that Heavy Rain game, Sean, and your son Sean's missing. You gotta find him, so you go to the place, this investigation with this robot. Is a synth named Nick Valentine. He's like an old gumshoe, you know, noir detective, but he's like fake face is like kind of falling off. He's got the fedora and the trench coat, and he recommends that these cigars, they're a unique brand. You need to get somebody that can track it. Oh, get dog meat. Well, I installed a mod called Aliens of the Commonwealth, and it allows... There's an area where you go to, and you look up in the sky, and there's the engineer ship, the derelict, in the sky. On the ground, there's the xenomorph eggs. And you go to a certain one, you will battle like a 10 to 12 foot tall xenomorph. It ain't a queen, but it's basically like a super xenomorph. And you got the neomorphs, like the ones from Prometheus. You got to... The best ones are when you go up to an egg and the egg cracks open, and as the face huggers come out and they're scurrying across the ground, it's the creepiest. I got a machine gun with explosive rounds. I'm firing everywhere. I'm like, I ain't taking any chances. But you collect their, what they call serum something, 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 and you combine it, and you can actually turn your dog meat into a straight up Alien 3 xenomorph, because you know that Alien 3 is that kind of leopard dog kind of thing going on. So I injected it, and it's the creepiest thing because the video where you have him sniff the cigar to go hunt this guy named Kellogg down, this mercenary, he comes up and he goes, "Wolf!" And it's a xenomorph head, and he goes like, and it's disturbing, and he's like, just to see him creeping along with his spine and the tail, and like, and I turned myself, and I had to find this certain egg, a dormant egg, and I turned myself into a xenomorph. So I'm running around with the Reverse Flash's belt and suit on, with the xenomorph skin above this, with the Reverse Flash brass knuckles that have the ability to... It has a stronger nudge, pushback to the moon, and anything in the game that I punch will launch... Will launch so hard, sometimes their limbs will fly off their body. Like, an arm will go here, a leg will go there. The Flex Tape commercials. Now, that's a lot of damage. Every time either a car explodes, because there are nuclear-powered cars in the game, or a nuclear bomb goes off, I hear nothing but, that's a lot of damage. And it's xenomorph, with a xenomorph dog, with a nuke, with a mini nuke launcher that doesn't just fire one nuke, it fires two. But I have what they call experimental MIRV, which actually fires 16 nukes. Little tiny nukes. So 16 times that, it's a lot of damage in a confined area where the frame rate is dropped down to 5 because the room is full of 60-plus synths with their batons, nightsticks, and guns. My xenomorph dog, my xenomorph head, my nuke. There's a lot of damage in a confined area. I'm afraid my TV is just going to start looking like something out of Dali.
Yeah.
Melting down. Blood starts coming out of the speakers and the TV just like bleeding down. It's like crying mercy. But it's putting more. It's made the. Oh, and I made my face nightmarishly cut up. I put every scar, makeup, this, that, whatever you could.
Did. Of course.
Too much Monster Factory. Too much Monster Factory has corrupted me.
So I will end on this. So my theory is single player might be the way to go on Xbox if the system gets cactus.
Or physical media in general. Like I said, Pete had recommended. He picked it up himself. He said it's great because it includes everything. Mm-hmm. He sent me a little video of it. Take that back. He did not send. It's alleged that he sent. He's alleged he did this. Alleged, but the despecialized editions of the original trilogy.
Yeah,
and the where you see it's what's his name? You got the Yub Nub. You got the
Lefty neck.
You got all that. No Ewok blinks. No, no extra stuff. Just everything the way it's supposed to be. No bonus features or anything. But I'm tempted. I'm quite tempted.
I've got some physical media to get me through. I've got Abnett and Lanning's Authority Run. I've got some classic Len Wein, Jim Aparo, Dead Man, complete with absolutely cactus coloring. But yeah, what can you do?
What do you mean cactus coloring?
Oh, it's just that. Just, you know how the digital flat coloring doesn't work on.
Oh, I like that. Dude, I'm
glossy paper.
I'd rather have that. Let me show you something real quick. While you're talking about that, hold on.
Have it on paper stock, though, than this glossy stock. I think glossy stock ruins it.
Well, I think just that's what they had. And I'd rather deal with that glossy stuff than deal with this. Okay, I picked this up. I've had this one for years. This Marvel Visionaries, Walter Simonson, The Mighty Thor, Book 1, which is, you know, with the, you know, classic, you know, the classic coloring, you know, the flat coloring, all that kind of stuff. And I picked this up, you know, a couple years later, and it's The Mighty Thor by Walt Simonson, Book 2, which, you know, looks about the same and everything. I should have known better from the cover alone, because it's just something didn't seem right.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they went in and remastered the coloring. Now, technically, they got Walter Simonson's permission. He's like, oh, he's on board with it. But they remastered all the coloring, so it's got that modern look.
That's not today modern. That's late 90s modern, where any gradient will do.
No. This is 2000. This is late 2000s. This is 2000.
I'm not saying it wasn't done today, but it's not done in this in style of today, where every single shape has a relevant tone curve related to shading. That's just, we're going to go from yellow to orange.
It's actually 2013. But yeah, it's that the coloring, like they should do like what they did with the Jack Kirby omnibuses, where they just did that flat coloring the way it's supposed to look. But no, they didn't. We get this garbage.
Anyway, so physical, I've got some irons in that fire. But as far as digital goes, I wanted to ask your opinion. We'll end on this. I've got a list in front of me, the 17 best single-player games. I'm going to leave out any Sony exclusives. So we've got The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, I haven't played. Horizon Zero Dawn. My son is madly into dinosaurs, so I'm thinking
that. That's PS4. That's PS.
Is that only PS4? I didn't say that here. Red Dead, I've already played. Kingdom Hearts 3, I don't know about. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I'm interested in. The rest are exclusives. I heard Spider-Man might be coming out on Xbox. This is the one that came out on PS4.
I don't think it will, because I think the company that made it, the developer, I think it's one of those, like, they're a Sony, they're like Naughty Dog, where Naughty Dog is nothing going to do nothing but Sony games. So,
wow, geez.
I believe it when I see it.
Not really much on this list, then. Let's have a look here. Okay, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, Control, Devil May Cry 5, Metro Exodus, Gears 5, Outer Worlds. Here's one I was looking at. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
I want to get it, and I was hoping... Honestly, I kind of hope the game sucked, because it means prices would go down, because like when Battlefront 2 came out, Battlefront 2 went from being like a $60 game to being like a $9 game, yeah. Like 3 months, and this game's been out like 6 or 7 or whatever, and it hasn't gone down like, it goes down like $10.
There's a discount at the moment, 20% off, if you own Battlefront 2.
That sounds like...
So I was thinking apparently about
apparently it's a real good game. You know, from what I understand, it's like everybody I've known that's played it, and there's, you know, we don't always, you know, think the same, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. I mean, it's like
it's Respawn. Is it anything pretty good?
It's the same people that did Titanfall 2,
yeah,
and Call of Duty games. Titanfall 2 was the best game they did, and I've heard some people say it's better than Titanfall 2, and I'm like, I don't know about that, but maybe that it is.
But I think that was such a surprisingly good game. Titanfall,
yeah, because it's a sequel to a game that was online only with this like very bare thin story, and it gave you like these fleshed out characters and everything. But I don't know.
Okay, maybe I'll look at that then. My kids have got me back into Battlefront 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've been playing it a lot, so I just sort of play over their shoulder a little bit when they get stuck.
That's kind of funny. That's kind of funny. They're playing it like.
Yeah, well, the multiplayer hasn't died on that. They're able to find quick play games to go into quite easily.
Yeah, I will say this: because they've actually been supporting that multiplayer and putting out new content. You know, making fun games. But if you're looking for a single player game that you're going to be sinking hours into, I love Outer Worlds. Don't get me wrong; Outer Worlds is great. A little thin.
What about the latest Far Cry? Did you play that?
Nah, Far Cry 5, I didn't. I played Far Cry 3. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. I played Far Cry 4. Far Cry Primal, which is like Caveman Far Cry 4. It's basically like an expansion. And I was like, you know, I think I'm Far Cried out, because like, you go climb the tower, you light the torch, you do this crazy... The stories were not that interesting to me. But when it came to... Like I said, Outer Worlds, kind of thin. Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, that's it. You got a guy's about to attack you, you have to plan accordingly and block or deflect or attack your own. And then Odyssey, though, that game, I played it. I honestly, I don't know if you're, still an Assassin's Creed person, but...
I'm still... Ezio Auditore was as good as it got for me.
Yeah.
I didn't get into Connor or any of the others. I tried.
Connor only had one game. Probably the best one, if they have it on sale, it usually ain't that much, is Assassin's Creed Rogue. That's actually a kind of side story, too.
I haven't even played yet. I downloaded it when it was gold. But I can't remember.
If it's Assassin's Creed Rogue, that's the one with Shea Patrick Cormick. And he's an assassin who kind of wakens up to, like, these people are supposedly the good people. They're a bunch of assholes. And so he ends up... He goes from assassin to a Templar. And it's got some of the pirate stuff going on. A little bit, like the ship stuff.
Like Black Flag.
A little bit of Black Flag. But it's... To me, it was much more interesting, because it's like the character-wise and story. Even though I thought the guy was doing the terrible Irish accent, it turns out he was Irish. So he's like, I was like, oh man, this guy's doing a stereotypical. He's like,
toity-toity-toity.
It's the Brani Stone.
The Templars stole me Lucky Charms.
Yes, and I was thinking, man, this guy. But he's got that. the true, that kind of Irish accent. I was like, oh my God, that's, I felt bad for him, kind of, because it's like, oh, not all Irish talk like this. It's like, what the bloody, you know, that kind of thing. What the bloody talk?
Yeah, Rogue's whatever. The one I've got. I've got Assassin's Creed Rogue.
Yeah.
I've got the 360 version I got for free.
Yeah, because it's really no different than remastered.
Yeah.
It's really no different at all. But Odyssey's extremely long. Well,
then I don't have to, pay for anything then. I've already got it.
No. Dude, just give it a shot. There's a character in that game named Haytham Kinway. He's Connor's father. Haytham Kinway is actually voiced. Voice actor's name is Adrian Ho. He Hough or Hog, whatever. But yeah. I think it's like Scottish name, whatever. Cool. That actor is the same guy who voiced Nightcrawler in X-Men animated series.
Ah,
so I was just thinking in my head. It's like just. Logan, read the Bible. Find peace in yourself, you know?
I like the Alan Cumming version. Yeah, in the Munich Circus, they caught me the feisty little blossing. Ah. Coming by name, coming by nature, yeah?
The only use Nightcrawler had in that movie was at the beginning. That was the only use
that he
had.
That was such a good scene, though.
But it's ruined by the fact that Singer is such a...
problematic individual. Is that what we're saying?
I'd say far more than problematic. But,
yeah, well.
I would not want to be the pool cleaner after one of his pool parties.
No, I would not want to be his upholsterer either.
Look at a combination of the first 48 or whatever, or CSI, what is it, one of those like real CSI things, like where they gotta send in a cleaning crew in the space suits, tieback suits, whatever, with the respirators.
Brian, I gotta ask, just off the cuff, why do you keep buying red couches?
I didn't know that. So I didn't know you're so, you know, this couch is, it looks like it's initially blue, but it's got a lot of red and white. I didn't know you were so patriotic, you know?
It's so odd. No, most people don't go for like a brown leather cushion on a red background, but that seems to be your theme around here, Brian. It's very interesting.
Hey, Brian, I got a question. Where did you get your... I know these, like, they do these weird fusion, you know, scent smells. Where'd you get this combination of copper and bleach? I don't know where.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Oh, God.
And I can all smell right. Fear, I think.
Fear.
Yeah, it smells like the fear of the young. Anyway, Call of Duty Warzone, last thing, actually.
Yeah, you were trying to convince me about that, and I
wasn't trying to convince. I just wanted to fill you out. What's not in a Brian Singer way? What's your thoughts on Call of Duty Warzone, a battle royale spun off from the Call of Duty universe?
I hear battle royale, and I just shut down. Like, well,
faithful listeners will remember our Apex episode.
I gave it a shot.
You did. To your credit, you did more than I thought you would.
I didn't half-ass this. I'm going to give this an honest go. And I'm running around map. Oh, there's a guy. He's helping us out for a tiny bit. Now he just peels off and does his own thing. And it was just, I was just thinking, I'm just waiting to die because that's all that's going to happen. Because I don't think, you know, like, if anybody's played this map before, knows where to go, knows what to do, and they know where the advantage points are. I'm just waiting to die, and it's one of those get good games.
That you couldn't have summed it up better, Larry. Well done. It is a get good game.
Yeah.
Get good or get wrecked, mate.
Get wrecked.
Get wrecked.
In Munich Circus, they call me get wrecked and the get fresh crew. Yeah,
Brian Singer wrecked my rectum.
Oh, okay, that's... On that note, folks, if you need to reach me, Larry King Undead on Twitter and Instagram, you can find me there.
If you need to reach me, it's allegedly at allegedly.com. No, Antonio Sanciolo on Twitter.
You can find Antonio in Brian Singer's basement.
You can find me in a law case near you. At Antonio Sanciolo, podcast at @kingfrequency.com. You can email us directly, as Travis did today. Thank you. Well, actually, on the weekend. So thanks for that email there, Travis. Facebook page as well. You'll see us about on Twitter. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you in a fortnight. Goodbye.
Frequency. Copyright 2019 by White Tiger Graphics.